Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hooter!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I am your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for listening today on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. You can also listen on grillnationshow.com. I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're having a great week. Very excited about the show today. We're going to cover a ton of different topics with an expert and a thought leader and just an overall great person and hardworking person who's involved in so many different things involving health here in the region and leadership. Amy Patel, Dr. Amy Patel is joining me. She's been on the show, I think, two times before, but not since like January, I believe, of 2020, early in the year. She is the medical director of Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging, radiologist. She's an assistant professor. She does all kinds of stuff. Amy, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Life has changed since we last talked. How have things been with you? I mean, what's going on in the world of health and whatnot after the stalling of everything in our country for a while?
Sure. So, you know, just like the rest of the country, we sort of, you know, mid-March into early April sort of stopped a lot of things in the hospital, such as non-urgent imaging, non-urgent procedures. This was based on the recommendations by the CDC. So we adhered to all the government recommendations. So, you know, things were slower in the hospital. Obviously, other measures were taken, such as PPE protection, which we are still wearing for the foreseeable future. That's not going anywhere. And then, you know, once we decided that we would be getting to a point to resume non-urgent imaging procedures, surgeries, things like that, we had to really put together a game plan for reopening and change a lot of the things we were doing in the hospital, such as implementing social distancing practices. Even our breast center, we have a temporary redesign to ensure social distancing, scheduling patients a little bit further apart to ensure social distancing practices, increased cleanliness protocols, which is hard to imagine because in a hospital you're constantly cleaning, but just so many additional things. But I can honestly say at our hospital, our chief medical officer, Dr. Raghu Diga, he's been the head of our coronavirus task force. He's also an infectious disease specialist. So we have been incredibly fortunate that we have been led so effectively and by an expert in the field of infectious disease. That's why we have felt very confident during this entire outbreak and including the reopening, so that we know, you know, that we're doing everything correctly and, you know, to a T.
Amy Patel is with me today. LibertyHospital.org is your website, and you're all over social media as well. What about you? I know you've obviously been very active with many things. What kind of changed for you during this process? This is someone who's probably used to being on call or on all the time. Like, what were the changes that you saw in your personal life?
Yeah, so, I mean, for one, professionally with the breast center, you know, we ceased all non-urgent imaging. So when it comes to screening mammography, we postponed those. We postponed those women who are high risk who come in for supplemental screening. That was postponed. Those women who are scheduled for short interval follow-ups without symptoms, those were postponed. So we're still catching, you know, we're still catching up with these patients who need to get in. In addition, we are trying to accommodate the patients who are due now. And so, and with, you know, our social distancing protocols and that sort of thing, you know, we've had to really think critically, you know, how are we going to get caught up? So it's almost like in the world of breast imaging, we feel like it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's like another October for us. And and I was talking to a breast imager the other day on staff at MD Anderson, and he was saying, you know, I think it's going to be Breast Cancer Awareness Month all summer. And I said, I know, I feel like that too. It's just so busy, but we need to do the right thing and get the women in who need to be getting in, who are already delayed, as well as not get behind on the women who are due. So that's been sort of, you know, in my world professionally, as well as, you know, I wear other hats, as you alluded to, like I'm an assistant professor at UMKC. So I teach the radiology residents. We've been doing a ton of virtual, you know, everything's virtual now. So lots of virtual lectures, lots of virtual meetings. So I definitely some days get Zoom fatigue or go to meeting fatigue. But this is the world in which we live right now. And, you know, our safety for everyone involved is of the utmost importance.
Do you feel like the world's going to change now? You mentioned Zoom meetings and all these different things. Do you find that you're more productive or less productive because you're doing more meetings, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not in your car driving to the plaza, to UMKC or to Liberty or to wherever, you know. It's like, it's weird because I feel like sometimes I don't do as much, but I'm doing more because I've been in more meetings and more getting more things done because I'm communicating. I'm not driving all the time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about, because sometimes I feel like when I'm sitting in my office at my house, I'm not doing enough stuff. But then I feel like when I look back at my calendar, oh, I got a lot of stuff done today.
Yeah, I think this is really going to change the workforce. I think not just in healthcare, but I think in other fields, we're seeing that people tend to be more efficient at home. You know, for example, my fiance, as you know, he's an architect and he's been working at home since mid-March. And he constantly is telling me, I'm way more productive at home. So I think that we will be seeing, you know, a shift, you know, for what I do, you know, as a professional. Obviously, I'm at the hospital every day. But I think in terms of, you know, lecture delivery, meetings, I think there we will be reverting to a lot of virtual means going forward. And certainly until we have a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Amy Patel, Dr. Amy Patel is with us today. Great guest. She's with Liberty Hospital, libertyhospital.org. She's on Twitter at Amy K. Patel. She's on LinkedIn. She's on Facebook. We're going to get into a lot of different topics today on the show, including probably ask you some questions, Amy, that you know, we kind of get to know you a little bit more. We have a minute left in the first segment. I want to ask one of those real quickly. You know, what do you think led you to this career? That's a question I don't think I've ever asked you.
I think that the reason why I chose breast imaging is I've always had a passion for women's health. I'm originally from Chillicothe, Missouri, so I thought I was going to go home, practice primary care with a focus on women's health because I felt like there was such a disparity of a focus on women, particularly in this part of the state and in Missouri. But then I ended up becoming a breast imager. I can still focus on women's health, find breast cancer, do procedures and talk to patients and see patients. So it's got the best of every world.
I love that answer. I love that answer. We'll be right back after the break with more of the Grill Nation show. I'm joined today by Dr. Amy Patel. Awesome person and doctor here in the region. You're listening to the Grill Nation show here at 980 AM and on podcast via iTunes. Thanks for joining us. 47 dead beats living in the back street, north, east, west, south, all in the same house, sitting in the back room, waiting for the big boom. I'm in the bedroom. Hello, and welcome back to the Grill Nation show here at 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. I'm your host, Jason Grill. You can connect with me on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. I'm also available on social media. Just search for my name, Jason Grill, on Instagram and on LinkedIn. We're talking today to Dr. Amy Patel, who's the medical director of the Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging. She's also a radiologist. She's come back to Kansas City. Say what, about 2 years ago now? Has it been
two? It'll be 2 years, July 1st.
2 years, July 1st. You came from the East Coast, but you grew up here. You schooled. You were in St. Louis for a while, I remember, and kind of touched a lot of different places, but decided to relocate back to your home region and have been very successful kind of growing the practice and educating women and even men on all the different issues that go along with radiology and breast cancer. What is, like, so you were mentioning a lot about the changes under COVID-19 and what you kind of dealt with. I know that Liberty Hospital has just now launched a new campaign called the Ready For You campaign. It's all over your social media. Again, Ready For You campaign. What is this? What's the inspiration behind it? Give us some facts about what you guys are doing with the Ready For You campaign.
Yes. So when we came together and, you know, had to implement essentially a formidable game plan for reopening, with that, we wanted to reassure the public that we were ready for the public, that they, you know, shouldn't feel afraid coming into the hospital if they need anything done, if they need to see their primary care provider, if they need to get, you know, their screening mammogram or they're due for their colonoscopy. So the Ready For You campaign is essentially a campaign that lays that out, you know, and we have, like I said, so many things in place now at the hospital in terms of social distancing for patients, increased cleanliness measures, PPE. Everyone is wearing PPE, temperature checks, you know, everything that we need to do to ensure the safety of our patients and for them to feel comfortable to come and see us. So like I talked about before with our breast center, you know, all of the staff, we're wearing a mask all the time. The patients that come in, they're all wearing masks. We have separated the appointment time so that we can ensure additional social distancing in the breast center. You know, there are some patients where if they're waiting for a result, we're having them sit in the atrium right outside the breast center to ensure social distancing. So we have really thought critically on every single point, again, due to the leadership of our chief medical officer, who's an infectious disease doc. And we've really, you know, taken everything that we can to ensure that patients are safe coming into the door. So we are ready for patients. There is no sort of juggling. We have a very solid game plan in place. And we will continue to do this, you know, for the foreseeable future. You know, like I said, you know, we're still off at far, you know, we don't know exactly when we're going to have a vaccine. So until then, you know, we're not going to let our foot off the pedal. We are going to implement these stringent practices. But we are ready for patients. You know, we can accommodate patients who need to seek care from us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine that would have been an issue because, like, I remember when COVID-19 kind of started in March, as far as like the stay at homes, you know, if I felt sick or if I felt like I needed to go to the pharmacy to pick up something, or I just was very reluctant to do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm assuming that's now changed a little bit just because of all the things you talked about, but just because it's summertime and obviously things are open again. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me there will be people that will be going back to their normal checkups and whatnot. But it is kind of scary, though. It was kind of scary at first. So I'm hoping that the COVID coronavirus doesn't accelerate because we don't need to be back where we were in March, right?
Yeah, no, we don't. And, you know, it's important for us to know as well, you know, the number of cases is going to be different whether you're looking at Clay County or Jackson County or Johnson County. So every, you know, area is different. So far, knock on wood, we've been, you know, we've lucked out, you know, in Clay County. But that doesn't mean that, and I mentioned Clay County because that's where Liberty Hospital is located, but that doesn't mean that we, you know, take our foot off the pedal. We still need to be very vigilant. You know, coronavirus is still out there. We know we are seeing outbreaks, particularly in, you know, nursing facilities, in prisons, meatpacking plants. So we really need to be vigilant of what is happening in the community and not let our foot off the pedal. You know, we still, wearing that mask is so incredibly important, you know, washing your hands, you know, this, just the things that, particularly, you know, washing your hands, you know, we know that a lot of people don't know how to wash their hands properly, but probably now due to coronavirus, where, you know, people are learning how to wash your hands properly. So even these smallest measures can make a world of difference.
Yeah, I know, like, that used to be a tagline for some people in the industry, like, wash your hands and do this and that. And now, like, everyone knows how to do it. It's pretty cool. Okay. So, you're doing all kinds of stuff. You know, give us some updates on kind of the radiology field. Like, have you guys, I know you're active with kind of the national organizations. What's been their take? I mean, have they been supplying you with a lot of different, updates and information of technology advancements? I mean, for me, I see a lot of industries really kind of outreaching more to their population, to their association, to their group, to give them the details they need. Has that happened in radiology? Obviously, it's different than a small business association or whatnot. So, what has that been like during COVID? Have they been active with you and with the membership?
Absolutely. You know, I think that all organized medical societies, not just radiology, but, you know, the American College of Surgeons, they've really made a concerted effort to guide the field, because these national entities, that's where we as practicing physicians really look to guide us. And so, you know, particularly like in the field of breast imaging, once, you know, facilities were going to start to reopen after the peak and the numbers started to, you know, after the curve started to flatten, for the Society of Breast Imaging, we came together and crafted basically guidelines for reopening, you know, suggested guidelines for reopening. And I'm on the Society of Breast Imaging Communications and Advocacy Task Force. So I was involved in crafting these, you know, national recommendations for practices and facilities. And so, you know, that those type of guidelines are incredibly important for our fields. And, you know, the government really looks to us to really guide, you know, our professions, because they can give sort of the overall, you know, pie in the sky picture of, you know, reopening. But in terms of the little nuances and nitty gritty of reopening, that's really where these organized societies have come in to really guide us. So we're very grateful in the field of radiology. We've had incredible guidance from the American College of Radiology, the Society of Breast Imaging, and many other radiology societies. So most of us have had a really concrete game plan moving forward during coronavirus, you know, when we shut everything down. And then, you know,
going to that, we mentioned your assistant, you also teach at UMKC. And, you know, you're talking about being involved and all these different things. If you were a student or if you were a person who was going to consider this profession, what is something that you today wish you had known when you started out? Because I know it's a long journey. It's a mm-hmm. long journey to get to where you are, even though you're still obviously very young. But what do you wish you had known before you had that, you know, now that you wish you would have known then?
Well, you know, I think that radiology is an interesting field because a lot of what you learn, you don't learn until you're a resident. You don't have as much exposure right now to radiology in medical school, which we're trying to change that. You know, right now there isn't a mandatory medical student rotation like there is for surgery or OB or pediatrics or something like that. And so a lot of times people have, medical students have misconceptions of the field of radiology. So, you know, looking back, you know, I wish I would have had more exposure to sort of know kind of what I was, I guess, getting myself into. Have no regrets by any means. But I think that because, you know, I didn't have as much exposure as a medical student, although I did have, I think, more than arguably than a lot, you know, I've really, you know, felt that I need to try to expose medical students as much as I can to radiology so that if they are interested in it, they should pursue it. So at UMKC School of Medicine, I'm the faculty advisor of the Radiology Medical Student Interest Group. And so that's a group that basically we have events every few months where we expose medical students to the field of radiology. Unfortunately, right now, you know, everything is via virtual means, but prior to COVID, you know, we were meeting periodically to talk about different parts of the field of radiology to expose them. So, you know, I think that the exposure is going to be so critical at the medical student level to recruit more bright talent to our field.
Dr. Amy Patel is our guest today. A minute left in the segment. Dr. Patel, tell us about some of the guidelines for people that need to get checked up. What are we looking at here in case somebody's forgotten or, you know, they maybe are reaching that age where they need to come see you guys?
Sure. So we recommend annual screening mammography beginning at age 40 if you're average risk, meaning that you do not have a 20% or greater lifetime percent risk of breast cancer, which is based on various factors like family history and your breast density. If you are high risk, we recommend annual screening mammography starting at 30, alternating with supplemental screening in the form of breast MRI or ultrasound every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And men can be affected, correct?
Men can. Male breast cancer is rare, but if a man does feel a lump or any sort of symptom, they definitely need to get it checked out.
Very good information. LibertyHospital.org. Dr. Amy Patel is our guest. She is the medical director of the Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging, also a clinical assistant professor at UMKC here in Kansas City. After the break, we're going to get more into this great information and talk about some other interesting topics with Dr. Amy Patel. We'll be right back after the break. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show here at 980 a.m. and on iTunes via podcast. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. I am your host, Jason Grill, back today for our third segment on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. And if you're joining us on the website, grillnationshow.com, I greatly appreciate it. Thanks to all of our great listeners, all of our supporters, and all of you for joining us each and every week. I greatly appreciate it. I hope you're enjoying the show. We are again joined by Dr. Amy Patel. She is a radiologist and the medical director of the Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging. She's also a clinical assistant professor at University of Missouri, Kansas City. She's involved in all kinds of different things here locally. And one of the things you're involved with now, Amy, and if you didn't have enough things on your plate, is you're the new chair of the American College of Radiology Young and Early Career Professional section. I believe the first one from Missouri they've ever had. Tell us about that and what that means and why you decided to do that, because obviously you want to have an impact, and I think that's a great thing on a national level. So what is that and why'd you do it?
I've always been, you know, active in the American College of Radiology, as, you know, far back as a first year resident. And so, in the college, I've you know, worn many hats. And then, you know, once I became a young physician or young radiologist out of training, you know, I really wanted to try to get involved at the national level as well. And so I actually ran for chair of the ACR Young and Early Career Professional section, and I was fortunate to win. So essentially, the ACR YPS is the governing body of young radiologists in this country, which is, you know, a little over 6,000 young radiologists in this country. And we serve as the voice for young young radiologists in this country. We protect their interests, particularly with the rest of the House of Medicine and with the highest leadership in the American College of Radiology. As you know, Jason, healthcare is rapidly evolving. It's rapidly changing. It's becoming increasingly competitive. And so, you know, we are here to protect these young radiologists in this country who are the future of medicine. And so I just assumed this title in May, mid-May. So it's new. We have a lot of great things in store this year for young radiologists in this country in terms of engagement. And we'll continue to advocate on their behalf to ensure that they are receiving, you know, fair treatment professionally as well as personally.
Where is that? Where do you have to go? Where is that located? Where's the headquarters at?
Yes. So the American College of Radiology, the headquarters are in Reston, Virginia, mm-hmm. but the government relations branch is located in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Speaking of government relations and policy and advocacy, I know you're active with that. There was a bill that was passed in Missouri this last session, which goes from January to May. It hasn't been passed into law yet. It actually would become law on August 28th, 2020, if the governor signs it by July 14th, which we hope he does. What is this bill and why is it so important?
Yes. So last year, I had a meeting with Representative John Carpenter and Senator Lauren Arthur to discuss the, you know, the struggles that I was having in practice, particularly with women who are high risk for breast cancer, and they kept getting denied insurance coverage for supplemental screening that they needed, that we have recommended, you know, the American College of Radiology, Society of Breast Imaging, American Society of Breast Surgeons. They kept getting denied. And those women before the age of 40 who needed a mammogram who are high risk. So I brought this to their attention. And luckily, Representative Carpenter was kind enough to sponsor this bill in the House, Senator Arthur in the Senate. And so we worked on this legislation together that essentially would cover high-risk women for the screening examinations that they need, as well as women who are high-risk from the ages of 25 to 29, based on these recommendations by these expert specialty groups. And so I'm fortunate because as of now, this legislation is in House Bill 1682 and Senate Bill 551. So I have a couple routes here where it could potentially pass. So we're all kind of, you know, waiting.
It did pass.
Well, I mean, for the governor to sign, I mean, you know, if the governor signs it or doesn't do anything, we're good. So that's what I'm waiting on.
Yeah, right. So that's July 14th.
Yes, July 14th. And so I think it was incredible that we even got it to pass and it got as far as it did this year, because once COVID hit, I thought, oh my goodness, we're done. I'm going to have to reintroduce this bill next year with Senator Arthur, or, you know, whomever, because Senator Carpenter is tapped out now, term limit. So I'm like, all of these thoughts are rushing my head. And about a week before Jeff City was shut down, we testified. Senator Lauren Arthur and I testified. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to go through this again next year. But fingers crossed, you know, if the governor signed.
Took the trip down to Jeff City, or were you doing it virtually then?
No, so that meeting actually was in person before all this hit. I went to Jeff City. I testified with Senator Arthur and also our chief of pathology at Liberty Hospital, who's very involved in the medical Missouri Medical State Association. He also testified as well.
Well, that's positive. That is awesome. In 1 year, I mean, that is unheard of. So our fingers are crossed that you'll get it to the finish line and it will become law in August.
Yes.
You don't have to go back and do this again next year, but there'll probably be other issues that you'll be advocating for.
Yeah, the work is not done. I have other things that I want to get past. And if this by some weird reason didn't, you know, we're still going to keep at it. You know, it's too important for Missouri women for me not to continue to advocate for them. I'm in a position to do so, so I have to see it through.
That's right. Dr. Emmy Patel is joining us. Dr. Patel, you do a lot with Liberty Hospital, does a lot with the foundation, and I've been on your social media, or I keep getting updates from your Facebook about all these donations. Tell us about that, because what is that? I mean, I know that there's all kinds of foundation events going on and work even through the COVID crisis, but you're doing something right now to raise money.
Yes. So every year, the Liberty Hospital Foundation has an event called Twilight at the Treehouse. And the Treehouse is an amazing space on the Liberty Hospital campus that provides lodging for patients who might be traveling a long distance and need to get treatments, but they can't necessarily afford hotels or something like that, or their loved ones who have come in to stay as well. So this is a wonderful facility, and we usually have a fundraising event at the facility. Well, because of COVID, we had to convert it to virtual means. So we had virtual Twilight at your house, which was a success. And the money essentially raised goes towards multiple things. So it goes towards, obviously, the Treehouse and keeping that running. It's similar to American Cancer Society's Hope Lodge. And, you know, as well as the other programs that the foundation has, not just for patients, but for Liberty Hospital healthcare workers. So, and, you know, for example, to date, since the COVID-19 pandemic, we've been able to help over 7,000 patients in the community. So just incredible, you know, an incredible effort. Midori Carpenter is the executive director of our foundation and has just done such a wonderful job. So we had a great event on Friday night and raised a fair amount of money.
And that was a virtual event. So that's going to be interesting to see, too, if that kind of takes hold more fundraising, because a lot of these groups that I've worked with and you've worked with, of course, we're going to have big galas this year or big fundraisers, and they've been put on hold. So you guys successfully implemented a virtual fundraiser. So,
yeah. And then, you know, I'm also involved with the American Cancer Society. I'm on their chairman circle board, and we just had a virtual event prior to the Liberty Hospital event, Shave to Save. And so we, you know, did really well virtually as well. So I think that there are ways to effectively fundraise via, you know, virtual means. You just have to really know exactly how to put it together, but it can be very effective.
Dr. Patel, you're in an industry that's takes a lot of time, effort. You're dealing with a lot of sad situations for patients to help them. And one of the questions I have is, with so many things going on, not to mention you're engaged now, you know, how do you handle the stress and pressure in this world? Like, what's your best advice? Because I know that you're constantly on the move and working and dealing with a lot of very sensitive issues with people's lives and whatnot. What's your advice, and how do you handle that stress and pressure in your career?
Well, you know, it's tough. You know, there's lots of balls in the air. I think that just medical school and residency training in general is very high pressure, which has really prepared me to where I am today. But I think as I get older, you know, I try not to perseverate over things over which I have no control, you know, and I try to have faith in a lot of situations. You know, I am a believer, and it definitely helps with what I do. I'm, as much as I'm a believer in science, I'm also, you know, a strong believer in faith. So those things help me as well. I like to, you know, exercise. That really helps me mentally, you know, going on runs, things like that. And of course, you know, now having, you know, a fiance has really helped with my work-life integration as well. So he tells me when it's time to, you know, stop doing what you're doing. We're going to a movie, or, you know, pre-COVID, or, you know, we're going to watch a movie or whatever. So just something, you know, he just tells me it's time to unwind. So that's helped out a lot as well.
Well, I was wondering what your hobbies were. Now we know you like to exercise. You like hanging out with the guy and taking it easy, you know. We're going to come back after the break. We have one segment left in the show. We're going to talk more with Dr. Amy Patel. From Liberty Hospital, libertyhospital.org is the website. Amy is online. Just search for Amy Patel, P-A-T-E-L, on social media. Great, great doctor here in Kansas City. You're listening to the Grill Nation Show here on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. We will be right back. Thank you. welcome back to the Grill Nation show here at 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Final segment of today's show with Dr. Amy Patel. She is an awesome, awesome person and is so involved here in this region. And she is the medical director at the Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging Center. Also, she is just active in everything, but also a clinical assistant professor at UMKC and very involved, as I said. Dr. Patel, welcome back. There's so many different things we could talk about, but what we haven't really talked about is kind of more personal issues and more like what you've learned through this process. What is one thing that you think you miss most during the last few months of COVID? I know you work in the hospital, so you've been working, but what have you missed most? Whether it's professionally or personally during the stay-at-home orders? Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing is just social interaction. You know, not seeing patients on such a regular basis when we were sort of closed to, you know, a lot of types of examinations. And then, of course, you know, the stay-at-home orders, you know, we took that incredibly seriously. I took that incredibly seriously. So not seeing anyone, not even seeing my mom and dad. So I think, you know, that was definitely tough. And, you know, it really tests your patience. It, you know, it tests, you know, your perseverance through a challenging time. But, I'm pretty extroverted. I like to socialize with people. So that was tough. So, you know, things such as like the house party app and other virtual means to connect with people, definitely utilized it during this time.
Yeah, I never did that one. I mean,
house party, it's great.
I missed the boat on that one. I did hear about it though. We had enough Zoom happy hours to keep me busy in meetings. So I know technology is really important in your industry. What are just a couple technological things that you're excited about with the future of radiology?
I think one thing I'm really excited about in radiology and then breast imaging in general is artificial intelligence. And I think we might have touched on it in one of the last times I was on your show, how at Liberty we've now implemented, it's been almost a year now, artificial intelligence breast ultrasound, which can help us with accuracy in determining which lesions can be called benign, which ones we might need to follow up on, or which ones that perhaps we do need to biopsy to rule out a cancer. So I think that AI, particularly in radiology, will help us do what we do even better. I think we can't be replaced because you can't replace, you know, a human touch. You can't replace a radiologist really breaking down something for a patient who might want additional clarification. But I think that in terms of accuracy and efficiency in the era of rising volumes and increased patient demands, I think that AI really has a true transformative potential in the field of radiology and particularly breast imaging.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of an interesting thing that we need to keep our eyes on. Of course, data, continuing to get new forms of data and ways to create data and utilize and analyze metrics and data is always a big thing as well. One question I have is with a career like yours, there's always type A's and people that are very hard charging. What is one unique skill you think that has helped you become successful in this journey that maybe that really helped you out? Because you're dealing with people in radiology that are kind of similar as far as their ambition and whatnot to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you can point to that maybe was a great skill that you had that helped you?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is I'm a risk taker. And I try to keep an open mind on things. And with taking risks, I tend to push the envelope to have, you know, people think critically so we can try to take it to the next level. So, like, for example, when
you hear very often in your field.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, like, usually people that go into medicine aren't your risk takers out there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I took a risk coming back to practice here in Missouri. It was a big career undertaking so early in my career, but it's turned out incredibly well. When I wanted to bring AI to Liberty, you know, that was sort of unheard of too. And I had to get buy-in from all healthcare stakeholders, admin leadership, my practice. So, you know, I'm always finding ways to push the envelope, try to expand on our innovation. And I think that in medicine, you have to be flexible. And in a lot of ways, you know, there are going to be things that, you know, and already that, you know, I've struck out on, but then I can have, you know, I've had a lot of victories too. So I'm just not afraid to take a risk because the reward can be so great.
Mm-hmm. So you're good at a lot of things, Amy, Dr. Amy Patel. What is one thing that you're not very good at?
I would say cooking. I'm not very good at cooking.
So we're in the same boat there. But what I will say about that is I'm not married. I am very simple as far as cooking because I'm not good at it. And so I tend to remain somewhat healthy as far as, because I'm not cooking like extravagant, unhealthy dinners. So that's one thing maybe that you need to take a class in at some point. Maybe we should do that together. We'll get your fiance as well.
But, he's a good cook though. He could teach us like.
Oh, he's good. Okay.
Yeah, he's a great cook.
So as far as the stay at home and whatnot with all the restaurants closed, you know, what was your go-to? Because you obviously weren't cooking. So what was your pleasure? Guilty pleasure. Mine was Andy's frozen custard down the street, man. I went there all the time and frozen pizza. I've now shipped in frozen pizza from some of the best pizza places in the United States.
Wow.
Oh yeah. I've got a fridge full of the best New York and New Haven, Connecticut pizza there is.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to get that. Yeah. I mean, we did a lot of Takeout Tuesday to support local businesses. Yeah. And with that, we ate a lot of Jack Stack. That was probably our number one, you know, true Missouri girl loving her barbecue. So
I love it. I did that as well. I don't know why I got into the pizza world though. I don't know. I went to New York last year and I've been to a few other places and had really good pizza. There's actually some really good pizza places that have since become reality since the outbreak because mm-hmm. they're now delivering and picking up. So I've been kind of on a pizza kick. So it's good to hear you're still on the barbecue kick.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did a lot of Minsky's too. So okay, I hear you.
So you had some pizza. You know, so what's next for you guys? I know you got the new campaign, the Ready For You campaign that just launched. What are you excited about in the future? What is inspiring to you? Because like I said before, you're dealing with all kinds of different issues for different people. What's next and what are you excited about going forward?
I'm excited for my role, like we discussed in the previous segment, with the American College of Radiology, young and early career professional section, what I can do to influence and elevate young radiologists in this country.
By the way, I want to stop you there, Amy, because I looked into it and there's over 6,000 young U.S. radiologists. And what you're going to be leading is defined as 8 years or less out of training or under the age of 40.
That is true. So
I would not be able to be in your club because I'm 40. So, and I'm not a radiologist. But anyway, yeah. So you're excited about that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then, of course, this legislation that we've, you know, discussed, if, you know, once we know by July 14th, you know, I really want to get the word out with, you know, Senator Carpenter, with Representative Carpenter to discuss this and why this is such a win for Missouri women and, you know, just continue to make an impact, not just, you know, in the state of Missouri, which obviously is my number one priority, but, you know, all over the country in any way I can.
Dr. Amy Patel, just an awesome resource for the show and just a great, great person here locally. I highly recommend if you have any issues or if you want to check up to check her out, libertyhospital.org, medical director of Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging. She's all over social media. Just search for her name, Amy, A-M-Y, Patel, P-A-T-E-L. Thanks for coming back on the Grill Nation show and congrats on all your success. It's great to talk to you and see you again via the Zoom.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us here on Grill Nation. We'll see you again next week. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.